My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He represents the Hawkeye State's 4th Congressional District, and he is a member of the House Judiciary Committee. He's joined us on numerous occasions to talk about the ongoing debate over immigration policy, and he joins us now to update what's been going on in the Judiciary Committee and in the House of Representatives at large. And, sir, thanks as always for being with us.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on, Greg. It's good to be back again.
Thank you, sir. Well, we've heard very different versions of what's going on in the House from different sources. We hear from Speaker Boehner that he wants nothing to do in conference with the Senate bill, which I'm sure makes you happy. Others, though, have said that the idea, while going piece by piece, is still aimed at essentially getting to the same point. So what is happening in the committee right now, and where do you see this eventually going?
You know, we formed a group here in my office back about February to do battle with what was emerging from the Senate and what was starting to emerge from the House against their amnesty legislation that was coming. And our goal was first to get through the first month, then the second month, and could we get to Memorial Day, then the 4th of July, then Labor Day. Now could we get all the way to Christmas, and we essentially have. I would count that a success looking back, but looking forward, we've got some real challenges. And I do take Speaker Boehner at his word. He doesn't want to go to conference on the Gang of Eight's bill from the Senate. I can see why. It's perpetual and retroactive amnesty in many forms. What's going on in the House is what Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, has described as a step-by-step approach, and that is passing several smaller pieces of legislation. And then I think they'd like to figure out how to time those and send them over to the Senate. I've been asking this question, and I don't know that you'd call it a challenge, but some might. Explain to me how any of this legislation in the House can pass the House, pass the Senate, get to the President's desk for a signature that looks anything like something that we would support over here. And right now, no one's been able to answer that question, correct?
Sir, in terms of the piece-by-piece components, there are obviously certain things that you're more worried about than others, whether it's the initial illegal status, the pathway to citizenship eventually, whether or not they're serious about border security and so forth. What are some of these individual pieces that the committee either has already considered or is going to consider soon?
Well, one of the pieces is a guest worker program that provides for some guest workers for agriculture and some other trades. There's some argument that it's not amnesty, but it does allow for 500,000 that are here illegally now to stay legally, so it is. It rewards the lawbreakers there. They have a bill that's it's an internal or domestic enforcement bill, and it's a pretty good bill. It just simply isn't ever going to become law as long as there are Democrats in control of the Senate and a president like Barack Obama in the White House. And there's one that is to do with upgrading the immigration, and it's called the STEM Act, the Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. And that brings in more people who have a higher education and have a better opportunity to contribute to our economy. Generally speaking, that's good. But they also then added to that another large group of people that increases legal immigration. The number isn't clear enough in my memory to give it to you definitively. If I remember right, it adds up around 2.5 million more legal people coming into the country. That's too many. My position is that I don't want to increase legal immigration unless and until we can control the illegal. And, of course, I want to end the illegal immigration, and I don't want to reward people who have broken our laws with a legalization or path to citizenship. And in other words, I oppose amnesty. And amnesty, to grant amnesty, is to pardon immigration lawbreakers and reward them with the objective of their crime.
We're talking with Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King, member of the House Judiciary Committee. And, Congressman, we talked a moment ago about how Speaker Boehner said that he would not go to conference with the Senate Gang of Eight bill. He has taken a couple of other steps, at least one for sure that we know about in recent days that have concerned some on your side of this debate, and possibly one other, although I'm not sure how well the story is sourced. The one that we do know about is that he has apparently hired John McCain's former chief of staff to kind of be the shepherd of immigration policy from his perspective in the House. And the other, and I do want to really get your reaction to this and your insight on this, and that's whether or not some of these immigration votes have been delayed in order to have them take place beyond the filing deadline for candidates who could potentially challenge incumbents. Go ahead and talk about both of those.
Both of those issues are valid and of a significant concern to me. First of all, the hiring of Rebecca Talent, or Becky Talent, as she's known by her friends, I understand. She would be the staff person added onto the speaker's team to deal with immigration. That if you were going to reach out into outside of the halls of this Congress and hire someone from anywhere in America to send a strong signal that you were committed to advancing some form of, let's say, comprehensive immigration reform to be charitable, Becky Talent would likely be the number one person that you would hire. She was also staff for Jim Colby when I served with him from Arizona, House member, now retired, open borders member of Congress from Arizona. From there, she went over to John McCain's staff, worked her way up to chief of staff. When he ran for president, she shifted over to the presidential campaign, and at some point left McCain as a former chief of staff and went to work for a bipartisan think tank to do their immigration. So all of her credentials that I know of in the last 15 or so years have been dealing with comprehensive immigration reform / amnesty, and she has been instrumental in writing at least three comprehensive bills, most of that in the Senate. So that's what the Speaker's message is to us. I believe he is bringing some kind of immigration, probably step at a time, trying to get one through, see how it reacts, and then maybe make a decision on another and another. The thing to watch is just last December 9th was a qualifying date for the Texas primaries, which is a large Republican delegation from Texas. Some of them were potentially facing intense primary challengers that likely would be standing on rule of law and border security. That, I think, has been something that has slowed down an issue that might otherwise have come from the Speaker's office. Those filings are now there, and that primary is March 3rd, which I believe that's the first Tuesday in March, is the 3rd. And after that Texas primary, I think that's when we see the Speaker move. That's what I'm planning for anyway, Greg.
By bringing in Becky Talent, is that him basically saying that he agrees with the work that she's done that's pretty close to what John McCain has advocated in the past, or is that reading too much into it?
No, I think that says exactly that. Why would you hire somebody whose whole track record was one thing and think they're going to be able to run a different direction on that track? It's not because she knows immigration law and how to write it. It's because that's what she's been pushing, in my opinion. If you want to do a baseball comparison, it's like, who are you going to pull out of the bullpen to be your relief pitcher if the bases are loaded and you haven't gotten it passed yet? Well, let's go see if we can make a trade and bring in, no trade required, just fill an empty slot, bring in Becky Talent. That's how I see it. I think that she's a high-value relief pitcher for the other team.
Does that mean, then, that he's not really that upset with the Senate bill and just knows that he can't get it past your conference?
Well, I don't know. I think John Boehner would have to speak to that. I'm sure there are things in the Senate bill that he would strongly object to. There's a lot to object to in the Senate bill. By the same token, for Republicans, there's two ways to look at this. One is you believe that you have to grant some form of amnesty to take some political pressure off, and maybe Republicans will be rewarded. I don't believe that, and I can't find any data out there that supports that or any rational thought, in my opinion. But some Republicans do believe that, and her hiring surely indicates that. The other side are people like me that say, the rule of law and border security is far more important than even if there was a political gain. But in fact, there's a political penalty for moving down the line of comprehensive immigration reform. But we should stand on the principle, and by the way, we'll be rewarded politically for standing on the right principles. Our base respects the rule of law. We want people to come in the right way. We celebrate legal immigrants. I just spoke at a naturalization ceremony last Friday in Sioux City, Iowa. I had to pause a couple of times because it emotionally means so much to me, the people that respected our laws and become Americans by choice. But they need to respect our laws. And that's the fight that's ahead of us. If we allow for rewards for lawbreakers, we get more lawbreakers. And in the process, the rule of law is chiseled away. And you can never restore it again in our lifetime, at least with regard to immigration, if these things pass into law, Greg.
And so, Congressman, you mentioned there are some good things coming out of the House Judiciary Committee. So do you believe it's smart to back those and hope that just those principles get through? Or do you still worry that if you pass anything, it's somehow going to get molded into something else, even if it's not specifically the Gang of Eight bill, which the Speaker has promised he wouldn't do, but something that then gets kicked back to the House that you don't like, but you're stuck voting on?
I strongly believe that The only bad can come from passing anything out of the House that has to do with immigration. It can only be a vehicle to get components of the Gang of Eight attached to it. If it's otherwise, if there's something we have over here that has merit that can get to the president's desk, fine. The Speaker can give Harry Reid a call and say, why don't you start a bill over there that is a companion to a House bill that actually doesn't give amnesty, send it over to us, and we can send it to the president's desk. That way, we don't have to wonder about whether they will keep their word or not. That may have merit, but anything that starts in the House gets something, or maybe many of the things of the Gang of Eight amended to it. It goes to conference, potentially. We end up in a big fight over immigration. It splits the Republican Party, and it changes the subject from Obamacare. The president and Democrats win, Americans lose.
Congressman, one other topic in our last couple minutes here together. As we speak on Thursday afternoon, you're just an hour or so away from a vote on the budget plan put together by Paul Ryan and Patty Murray. It's kind of gotten mixed reviews from both sides of the aisle, quite frankly. What's your sense going into this vote? How are you planning to vote and why?
Well, this deal that popped up as a surprise to most of us is one that increases spending in the next 2 years in exchange for extending the sequestration cuts an additional 2 years. It's one of those typical things that come up here in Congress. We don't want to tighten our belt now, but we promise to tighten it later. In fact, we want to loosen our belt a couple notches. It does get some military spending in. That's good. It expands discretionary spending. That's bad. And it promises to make up for those cuts later. Serious people don't think that that's going to turn out to be true. So from my standpoint, it does put together the regular order. It lets us then go back to real appropriation bills where amendments can be offered, and we can constrain spending and send some policy messages over that usually are media messages, not so much something that becomes law. So on balance right now, I am a firm undecided, which is really unusual for me. And I want to go over there and hear some more of the debate and come to a conclusion here, but I'll just say that it is not all that it's cracked up to be, and I will make this prediction that if it does become law, you're not going to see the $23 billion in reduction in spending 10 years out.
Real quick, before we let you get back to that debate, there's obviously been a verbal dust-up between the leadership and some of the more conservative members, conservative groups. Is that being blown out of proportion in the media, or is that divide being shown again as a result of this bill?
Well, no, there's definitely friction there, and there's a wedge that's been driven, and I think that there's been an effort to try to marginalize the more conservative members of the House of Representatives, and some of that's being manifested in this vote that's coming up, and we'll see it. The score sheet will be up there in the recorded vote not very long after we conclude this conversation, Greg.
Well, sir, as promised, we'll let you get back to the debate. Thank you, sir, as always, for being with us. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity to have this conversation, Greg. We'll be back again soon.
You bet, sir. Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.